The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Well, Hoop Ball Lakers Nation, it has certainly been a fast and furious start to the offseason, to say the very least. Free agency is live and underway. The Lakers have made a major, major Russell Westbrook-sized reconstruction and addition to this team. And it appears like you have to be a former Laker in order for the Lakers to bring you aboard this offseason, JC. I mean, what a way to start free agency. We know NBA free agency is always crazy, but this feels like as crazy as it's ever been.
Yeah, for sure. Some things have been interesting. The lack of action with some players has been interesting to see with the Knicks. The more things change, the more they stay the same. They have all this money, and they didn't do a whole lot with it. There's been interesting things to see.
We are going to get into everything and anything that has transpired. I got some thoughts on the Knicks as well, but we would be doing a disservice to our listeners, to the fan base, and to the Lake Show if we, of course, did not start with the Lakers. And the headline news, JC, is that Alex Caruso is gone, man. 4 years, $37 million, signing with the Chicago Bulls on the same day that the Bulls sign and trade for Lonzo Ball, giving him a four-year, $85 million contract. Did we think Caruso was going to stay? I know we talked about on our last episode, JC, that you know if the Lakers could keep him for around $10 million a year, that might have been a worthy endeavor. That said, that was just prior to the Lakers acquiring Russell Westbrook and now having three of the highest paid players in the league. So I think this was kind of writing on the wall when Russell Westbrook was added to the Lakers. And at $37 million, good for Caruso.
Yeah, I think I said last time, you put him on another team and he's going to be a shell of himself when he doesn't play against LeBron. And I feel bad for saying that now because obviously I hope wish him the best in Chicago and I hope he does really well. With the addition of Russell Westbrook, it seems as though the focus does need to be on three-point shooting. And as much as we love his defense and at times he's been a really good three-point shooter, he's a little inconsistent. And his accuracy from week to week, month to month, can range from one month he'll be a 40% three-point shooter and the next month he'll be an 18% three-point shooter. And need a little bit more consistency out of that if he's going to get minutes on this team, the way they're reshaping their philosophy.
We are going to get into Russell Westbrook extraordinaire hour after we go through the Lakers free agent edition so far, JC. I will agree with you, and that was a great tease into that the Lakers need to prioritize shooting. And with two of their three recent additions, it seems like they may be trying to do that. Trevor Ariza is more D than three at this point. But what a story for him to return to the Lakers at this stage of his career. You know, JC, I got a buddy who's, he's sort of a pseudo sports fan. He likes the Lakers. He likes the Dodgers. He likes the hometown teams. But he's never been a real hype sports fan. And when we shared the news that Ariza was coming home today in our group text, his response was, "Oh, Ariza is still playing? ! And it's really a testament to Trevor's career, man. I mean, talk about a guy who has just persevered and sort of found his role in this league. And, he's a guy I think that you championed for prior. Obviously, it didn't wind up working out prior, but now he returns to the Lakers after so much time apart. And then Kent Bazemore, again, added to the Lakers roster after several years away. And it sounds like Kent Bazemore actually turned down more money and more years from the Warriors in order to come back to the Lakers and sort of bet on himself. Now, JC, do you think either of those guys, who plays a bigger role than the other? And of course, I would be remiss if I did not mention Dwight Howard returning to the Lakers for now a third time.
Yeah, I think Trevor Ariza, and yeah, it's about a season too late. I thought last season when he was traded to Oklahoma City and their obvious rebuild, the obvious thing for him was going to be bought out and easy buyout candidate for the Lakers at a veteran minimum because he's a 3-and-D guy. And so it's a little bit later than I thought it would happen. But yeah, I think he's going to be more situational. And he's probably maybe a little more versatile than Markieff Morris. Markieff Morris is a little situational too, but he was a good stretch four. Whereas the situation with Trevor Ariza now is going to be, he's going to be kind of your guard on the wings for defense. And so that's sort of where I see him. The Kent Bazemore thing is really interesting. A lot of people were kind of souring on that deal. And I looked it up in Basketball Reference, and since he's 31 now, from the age of 27, his minutes haven't really diminished, but his points have, and that's really because his role has diminished. And after he was a really great star for Atlanta, before they decided to rebuild and focus on, before they lucked into Trae Young, he was a great piece of that team. And they decided to rebuild, and he wasn't a part of that, and he was then the old vet on some young teams. The exception of that being last season, I don't know why he didn't get more minutes with Golden State, but they were kind of a young season too in that weird season with Klay Thompson being injured. So, yeah, I think people who don't know or maybe have forgotten, Kent Bazemore played a huge role in a really successful Atlanta team. And so I do think the opportunity for him to surprise people, some people in a Laker uniform, is there.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I do too, and of course, JC, I failed to include Wayne Ellington coming back to the Lakers once again in that initial mix. My apologies to Mr. Ellington. I just got so excited between the Dwight, between the Ariza, between the Bazemore. Of course, Tower waiver extraordinaire, but has become much more known for his play on the court at this point. Ellington's a guy who will really help this backcourt, JC, I think, in terms of shooting the basketball. At worst, he is equivalent to what KCP was from behind the arc, although Ellington is obviously a little longer in the tooth when it comes to his age and where he is in his career. It seems like the Lakers are being very purposeful in loading up on veterans. And as of this time, as we're recording this, Carmelo Anthony is deciding between the Lakers and Knicks as well here. I'm curious what the Lakers are planning to do, because to me, besides the guys that they brought in, right? I mean, look, Dwight, I don't want to say was predictable, but basically he should have been back last year, okay? He should have never left L.A. for the second time. You could argue he shouldn't have left L.A. the first time. I think a lot of us did at the time, myself included. That all said, JC, I think Ellington is a guy who comes in and helps his team. Ariza, like I said, more known for D than three at this point in his career, but I think can still be a useful player, even though he's a little bit of an elder statesman. But it feels like the Lakers are still working on another bigger piece here, and Dennis Schroeder remains obviously unsigned. There has been a lot of sign and trade chatter around his name, still potentially a pathway to Buddy Hield here, and then the Kings maybe flip Schroeder in a three-team trade, because that wouldn't make a lot of sense with Halliburton and Fox there already. So I'm curious if you think Buddy Hield is still to play. Is this a DeMar DeRozan situation? Maybe a sign and trade there with Dennis Schroeder. San Antonio's certainly been making some fascinating moves today, giving more than $60 million to Doug McDermott and Zach Collins. So what's your take on the Lakers' sort of next move here? Because before we get into Russell Westbrook, this Lakers team, as a result of the Westbrook acquisition, really has to be built a certain way here, especially if they're going to take advantage of what LeBron and AD can do really well together and what they can do really well separately.
Yeah, it's going to be a major philosophical change, like I talked about earlier. The team that ranked third in defensive efficiency last season, that's not going to be the case this year. But I think there's a case to be made. If you're successful enough offense, you don't necessarily need to be a lights out defense the way, I mean, look at Brooklyn. Brooklyn in the playoffs decided to play defense a little bit better in the regular season when they wanted to. And so if any player can manage a team that knows how to flip a switch when the time comes, it's LeBron James. And so in that sense, yeah, I think the Lakers are kind of building that sort of team. They might be a little frustrating to watch in the regular season. May not necessarily know whose minutes are going to come where, kind of like last season, but I do think that their ability to flip a switch is greater than last season's.
It's really interesting, like you point out, that they're going to undergo a philosophical switch in how they play the game of basketball and what they're going to have to do. This is now the third straight season in which this Lakers team will do that. And this is the sort of perfect segue into getting into the Russell Westbrook acquisition. As it was all happening, JC, you know, you and I were texting and I said, oh, I'm at a reading with my students. We're literally in the middle of a bookstore. And I was just sort of, there was so much going through my brain that it was hard to process at the time. This was obviously in the hours leading up to the NBA draft. And look, when it comes to asset allocation, you're talking about $44 million for Russell Westbrook or $37 million for KCP, for Kuzma, for Trez, and then the money you have to pay the first round pick as well. So it basically offsets itself, right? The acquisition cost in this case, I feel, was more than reasonable. And I'm not trying to just poo-poo those guys out the door. Kuzma is an imperfect player like so many guys are, whether they're at the NBA level or any other, but particularly, you know, at the professional level is where we see it, right? There are guys who don't do everything well. And when I say imperfect player, it's not a knock. It's just the reality, right? If you're building a player from scratch, he does everything at the NBA level. I think Kuzma will have success in DC, and I'm super appreciative of his time with the Lakers because he played a multitude of roles, mostly played good soldier about it, although it feels like he got a little sour toward the end. And to be honest, I think both sides knew they'd sort of be better off without each other. It's the relationship that reaches its natural course. Not everything is designed to last forever. When you sort of draft and develop, you always get that extra attachment, sometimes as an organization, but more often as a fan. And I think that's what you see with Alex Caruso, obviously a good example of that. But Kuzma too. And the same goes, you know, for KCP. Even though he wasn't drafted by the Lakers, he spent a considerable amount of time with the Lakers. He always played good soldier, for lack of a better way to say it. And, you know, for the most part, he played the role that we pretty much had expected. And his contract situations were a little weird, but ultimately I feel like he was more or less fairly compensated, especially for what he brought to the team. And Trez, you know, I think he's a player nobody expected to be available last offseason. The Lakers give it a shot. And unfortunately, it didn't quite work out the way that the team had anticipated, especially toward the end. And so, you know, you thank him for what he did too. But Russell Westbrook being added to this team, like I said to one of my buddies, at worst, and this guy is a sort of a notorious Westbrook critic, I said at worst, he is a much improved Dennis Schroeder, especially downhill in the pick and roll. At worst, JC, right?
Yeah, and a thought also occurred to me today that I haven't really seen anybody talk about, but there is the chance that Russell Westbrook could pull off the CP3 and just decline next year's $47 million and stretch that out, you know, a few more years. To be a smaller, more friendly cap hit.
And you know, that's certainly a possibility. And obviously LeBron and AD and Westbrook had a conversation about playing together. The Lakers organization, Rob Pelinka, they don't do this without getting those guys involved. I mean, give me a break when it comes to that sort of thing, you know? So this was obviously clearly pre-planned. And, you know, shortly after, I mean, the news still isn't officially official, but shortly after it was basically official, you know, LeBron is out there posting a picture of himself and Westbrook and AD on Instagram. So he's clearly embracing the era. And I'm curious to see what comes of it. I think Westbrook on this team playing with LeBron, playing with AD, will play a version of basketball that we may have not seen from him in some period of time. And at minimum, I think we can always count on him to be fully engaged on a team that is led by LeBron. That is such an important factor in this matrix that I can't understate it. So if the Lakers can now sit here and find a way to acquire a player who is capable of helping them from behind the three-point line, a.k.a. Buddy Hield, that would be sort of, you would think that's like the home run style edition at this point in the free agent process.
Yeah, if they can still find an avenue to make that happen, which it sounds like is possible, then yeah, that's definitely going to be the home run move, you know, aside from Russell Westbrook himself. And yeah, to echo your point, he is to compare him and Schroeder, yeah, he's going to be a much better passer. He's going to rack up more rebounds and assists than Schroeder, and he's probably not as good a three-point shooter, but neither was Dennis Schroeder, and so that's probably going to be kind of a wash there. And yeah, I think the idea was just to offset playmaking duties. I think there's going to be times where LeBron will be the playmaker and Russell will be playing off the ball, which is what Schroeder did, and you know, vice versa. And in that scenario, off the ball, you'd much rather have Russell Westbrook, who's an elite cutter, and who's somebody who can play at the rim, above the rim. So yeah, I think that's a great point.
And I think, you know, despite Dennis Schroeder's speed, I think it's something we didn't see him use enough. Like, there were certain games in which he was all about the speed. He used it defensively, he used it offensively, really to the advantage of himself at the expense of the opponent. But then there were other games in which he just sort of Cadillac'd it, for lack of a better way to say it, and he didn't use it as much as I would like to see. I know we're not going to have that problem with Russell Westbrook, and JC, I think this team would benefit from playing a little bit faster pace. I think that's, you know, when they can get out and run, and I know LeBron is not a spring chicken, okay, but he still gets out and runs. AD is capable of getting up and down the floor. I think they put a lot of pressure on teams. If you got a 3-on-2 fast break with those three guys staring at you in the face, that's a lot of pressure to put on a team. So to me, this also gives them the opportunity, the Westbrook acquisition, of course, to never have one of those guys off the court, right? If they're all three healthy, they're all available, of course they're all going to be in the starting lineup. But outside of that, there's going to be two of the three on the court at sometimes. There might be one of three on the court at sometimes. And this allows the Lakers to always have a guy out there. And that's a situation that we really saw them struggle with last year. And it put an unbelievable burden on AD and LeBron as a result. And if you want to attribute part of that extended responsibility and playing time to why those guys dealt with injuries, I think there might be a correlation.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said too. If, as you know, LeBron's getting up there in years, he saw it a little bit last year, if he maybe might extend some of the minutes he plays with the second unit, or even if Russell Westbrook does that, that's only going to serve to help the second unit much more.
I mean, it's really crazy to think about how some people view Russell Westbrook. This is a generational type of talent, and again, an imperfect player, right? Like he is very capable of going 20, 12, and 10 while shooting 5 of 19 from the field with 6 to 8 turnovers. I mean, he is just really a chaotic player. Now, I don't think he's going to have a role offensively that's larger than LeBron's, that's larger than AD's. He may take more shots than AD some nights, although I really hope that does not happen. And he may take more shots than LeBron on some nights because LeBron may be playing more role of the playmaker. But at the end of the day, JC, this Lakers team added a dynamic, perennial all-star, triple-double. I mean, literally, Mr. Triple-double averages a triple-double, and people are like, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. Okay, bro, in the NBA, it's kind of a big deal. Like, I'm not going to sit here and break it down in terms of the analytics and all of that. But just to speak from person to person, like, it is quite literally video game numbers that this guy does. And so to sit here and denigrate that and be like, yeah, yeah, whatever. But, you know, it's just this idea that we strive to create this image of these perfect models. But we all sit here societally and say we got to celebrate more of the imperfect more often. So I'm here to celebrate Russell Westbrook. Yeah. He's an imperfect fit, but he's a brilliant fit. The Lakers had no business being in the superstar running for anyone this offseason because of their contractual situation with LeBron and AD. And instead, what have they done? They've added Russell Westbrook. They've given AD a potential running mate for the future in the post-LeBron era, whenever that may come. And they've given themselves a new path and renewed emphasis on winning a championship and, again, maximizing the time that LeBron is here. So at the cost of what the Lakers paid, to say the very least, this was a great move, okay? They've added 4 free agents on day one. It sounds like Carmelo Anthony could be on the way, although that's probably a complicated decision with the Knicks showing interest, like we were saying earlier. But this Lakers team is taking shape, and I think this is one, if you read the things that you know, they were sort of talking about with Westbrook prior to this happening, about LeBron playing more of the four and AD at the five, I think some of these moves support that. Of course, Dwight Howard is going to play his minutes at the five, but we know Dwight Howard's not going to play 25 minutes a game. He's going to play, you know, 15 to 20 minutes a game. And I think Marc Gasol could be on this team next year, but I'm not going to sit here and guarantee it, JC.
Yeah, the center position is going to be interesting because I do think Dwight will find a role, and he'll find a more useful role than he did in Philadelphia, to be where he was just Joel Embiid's backup. Here he can be, you know, the backup center to Anthony Davis. He can start at times too. He played really well with LeBron James in their championship year, and so yeah, I think there's more opportunity for him to be more impactful than he was in Philly.
Oh, for sure. There's no question about it. Like I said, I don't think he should have ever left the Lakers, especially the second time around. That said, JC, the action was hot and heavy all around the league today. As we sit here and record, it's still going on. And I have to get your opinion. I mean, I think we're going to start with the Knicks a little bit here. So we're going to take you on a quick run around the league here before we come back to the Lakers ultimately. JC, we go on a whip around the league. You alluded to the Knicks earlier. Is that the team whose spending was most surprising to you today? Nerlens Noel, more than $30 million. Evan Fournier, almost $80 million. Derrick Rose gets more than $40 million. Alec Burks gets $30 million. It feels like a lot of money for a fifth-place team.
Yeah, Nerlens Noel is a puzzling one because he, for as many minutes as he played on a near vet minimum last year, now all of a sudden you're going to pay him $10-plus million a year. Because I don't think he's going to start for New York. And then Derrick Rose, probably his number is about right. I think it was 3 years, something in the 40 some odd million at his 40, age.
40,
right?
Actually surprised he didn't get a little more.
Yeah, that's probably about where he is. He probably could have gotten a little bit more. Evan Fournier is the one that people were surprised by, especially there were reports that DeMar DeRozan had mutual interest in the Knicks. And so if you're going to give that amount of money, or maybe even more, and your choice is Evan Fournier or DeMar DeRozan, I probably would have chosen DeMar.
I'm not the biggest fan of Evan Fournier. I know, look, he's a solid player, right? I mean, look, sometimes there are guys who just don't jibe with what you want, right? And that's kind of how he is to me. I don't know, man. Over $100 million for Fournier and Alec Burks. It just feels like that money could have been better spent elsewhere. So it was kind of puzzling for me as to what the Knicks did, especially because, you know, Mitchell Robinson is still in the picture in New York as well. Talk about Nerlens Noel's deal. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes out for them. But that was a bit of a surprise to me, to say the least, as well. The day started off, JC, Steph Curry, 4-year, $215 million extension. Luka Doncic, you know, coming through with his 5-year, $200 million extension. I know it seems like monopoly money to me, so I'm not even going to sit here and analyze it. I mean, those are the types of moves that we know are predictable, okay? So Noel was actually our first move of free agency today. The one that's most intriguing to me happened basically right after, maybe even simultaneously, and that's Lonzo Ball to Chicago, 4 years, $85 million, right? And of course, the Bulls also picking up Caruso, like we were talking about earlier. The Bulls now have a backcourt of Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine, we think, although Zach LaVine's been talking about respect and the Bulls needing to pay his money. So the Bulls now are looking at sort of a core of Lonzo, LaVine, and Vucevic. What are they building there? And is Lowry Markkanen, feels like Lowry Markkanen is probably on his way out the door.
Yeah, I mean, some people think that might end up being the destination for DeMar. It's still, you know, what he's doing, it's oddly quiet on his end, what he's doing. And so if that ends up being what the Bulls finish doing, it could be an intriguing team. They could, if, you know, I don't necessarily see the Knicks repeating what they did last season. They might still be a playoff team. I don't necessarily see them being better. And so you might see the Bulls could sort of elevate and take that spot.
I am very curious to watch Lonzo in Chicago. It felt like New Orleans made the decision to move on from Lonzo a while ago. I think they wanted to put a little more shooting around, although Lonzo's three-point shot was starting to improve, I felt like. I don't know, man. It feels weird how quickly the Pelicans felt like they were ready to move on. So fascinating to me. I kind of dig the fit in Chicago. I think it'll be a good stage for him. I hope he has success.
Yeah. I'm curious what's going to end up happening in New Orleans. Like, this is for you know, seasons beyond, but you know, two head coaches in 2 years for David Griffin. It doesn't seem like Zion's really happy with the development there. Rookies typically don't turn down their max extension, because if you're like an all-NBA, all-rookie or all-NBA player like Luka, like Trae Young, your rookie max extension is like $200 million, which is way more than any other team can offer. And rookies just don't turn that down. But Zion might. he just might not be happy there.
We will see. There's a lot of pressure in New Orleans, that's for sure. And then they gave a considerable amount of money, almost $50 million, to Devontae Graham. And, you know, he's a guy who certainly can score the basketball, but he's a guy who's a volume shooter. And even though he can get hot from behind the three-point line, he's often not from anywhere else.
Yeah, he was up and down in Charlotte last season, so, yeah.
Well, we'll see how it all works out for the Pelicans. David Griffin, you're certainly on deck. We saw Will Barton become a $16 million a year player, JC. Mike Conley comes back to the Utah Jazz, a move that we all knew was going to happen. Tim Hardaway, $18 million a year to stay with the Mavericks. That one felt like a little bit rich to me, but I can certainly understand the perspective, especially because that's exactly the contract that Kent Bazemore signed post-Lakers run the first time around. Jimmy Butler, the Heat got great news today when Jimmy Butler agreed to sign a 5-year maximum extension, and the team acquires Kyle Lowry in a sign-and-trade, 3 years, $90 million. They also gave $90 million, JC, to Duncan Robinson, the most amount of money ever for an undrafted player. What do we think about what the Heat are doing? Lowry and Butler and then Duncan Robinson. I'd love to get your thoughts because, man, if I got a kid who's serious about an NBA career, boy, you better shoot that three-pointer like nobody's business.
Yeah, teach him to pitch a baseball or teach him to shoot a basketball. Yeah, you're also missing Miami also signed P.J. Tucker, which is
– Oh, my goodness, that's right. Also P.J. Tucker late in the game. I mean – I know Andre Iguodala is going to be leaving that door. I know Trevor Ariza is no longer around, but man, the Heat got better today.
Yeah, the Heat got way better, and don't be surprised if they he had a bad season last season, but there's going to be some value for Tyler Herro to be found, and don't be surprised if Pat Riley can mine some gold out of Tyler Herro somewhere.
I am very curious about the Herro piece because, you know, for a while we heard Miami as a potential Ben Simmons destination. I think this quite obviously takes them out of that mix. That wouldn't seem to make a lot of sense, but I guess we've seen weirder things happen. Maybe that helps to offset Lowry's size, but I don't think it's going to happen at this point. Nonetheless, the Heat get a lot better. The Sixers are still left looking for answers. Quiet day for them. The Cavs have made Jarrett Allen their big man of the future, despite drafting a big man early as well. Jared Allen, 5 years and $100 million to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then, of course, JC, of course, the Pistons giving Kelly Olynyk 3 years and $37 million. Explain to me why that happened.
The Pistons are they're going to be the bottom rung of this league for a while, and so I feel like they need to – it's sort of – I don't know. It's a move that needs to be made, I guess. If they need a center who is capable, who can stretch the floor, that's certainly Olynyk. When he was traded to Houston, he played really well for Houston. And so, yeah, I could see how he played himself into that contract somewhere. And if it was going to be somewhere, it was going to be Detroit.
Campaign sticks around with the Suns, 3 years, $19 million. TJ McConnell stays with the Pacers, 3 years, 4 years, $35 million. The Alex Caruso special, if you will. Torrey Craig heads to the Pacers for 2 years and $10 million. We talked about Duncan Robinson, but then the news came out right after his $90 million that Chris Paul stays with the Phoenix Suns, 4-year deal up to $120 million. We knew CP3 was going back to the desert, JC. I don't think that caught anyone by surprise, especially with the finals run that they had. So it feels like he's going to finish his career alongside Devin Booker. That is pretty cool. Great news for the Western Conference, going to stay very competitive. I talked about the Spurs, JC, before. Doug McDermott, 3 years at $42 million. They also bring in the oft-injured Zach Collins. I think 2 years, $22 million, something like that. Maybe 3 years, 3 years, $22 million. So about $7.5 million a year there, $7.33 million a year. So between Collins and McDermott spending more than $20 million a year, your take on that? Because I know Popovich is doesn't do anything by mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it's those are the kinds of players that they like. It's similar to, you know, Matt Bonner was a big who could shoot. And that's sort of what you're looking at with McDermott, although he's not a true big. Yeah, I mean, they rarely make mistakes. They just realize they might not have had much to work with, as there might not have been as much interest in San Antonio this year. Yeah, it seems like they're going to lose DeMar. It seems like they're going to lose Rudy Gay, probably going to lose Patty Mills. And so they might just be prepping for a rebuild.
JC, I'm so glad you said the name Patty Mills. That's a player I think this Lakers team would benefit from if they were able to strike a deal.
Yeah, as it stands, I mean, your backup point guard is THT, and I don't know if that's the role they envision him, is to ultimately have him be a point guard. You probably want him to be more versatile at this point in his career because he's young. And so, yeah, why not get a true point guard to run your backup, which is what Patty Mills has done admirably in San Antonio his entire career.
Also a great shooter, three-point shooter, capable scorer. Yeah. Couple of key players stay in place, JC. Batum with the Clippers, Portis with the Bucks. Were you surprised that Daniel Theis got nearly $40 million? Because I was, and I was certainly surprised by the team that gave it to him, the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I thought Houston's aim was to go, I don't know exactly how old Theis is, but he doesn't seem like one of the younger players in the league, and they do seem like they want to be more athletic, and so I don't necessarily know where Theis fits in that role, especially since Christian Wood was playing a lot of their big minutes. Yeah, that was a surprising one.
Reggie Bullock gets more than $30 million to be the Mavericks' newest sharpshooter, JC. Blake Griffin stays with the Nets on a one-year deal. Norm Powell gets paid by the Portland Trailblazers. 5 years, $90 million. I know Damian Lillard is watching what Portland is doing very carefully. So far, there isn't a ton to write home about. Powell's a good keep for them, but at $18 million a year, they're certainly paying for it. Gary Trent Jr., who they actually sent away for Powell, is getting the same amount of money to stick with the Toronto Raptors, 3 years, $54 million there. Dwayne Dedmon also picked up by the Heat today, so the Heat stay in good shape there. Rashawn Holmes stays with the Kings, JC, 4 years, $55 million. I think that is a very fair deal. I think they actually got a bit of a bargain on that contract. Trae Young signs his rookie extension, 5 years, over $200 million. Maybe the extension we didn't see coming, but all should have. SGA, 5 years, $172 million with the Thunder. And then just before we started recording, a potential Lakers target, Otto Porter Jr., signs with the Warriors at the minimum, JC, turning down the mid-level exception elsewhere, per Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, to play with the Bay Brothers and Splash Bros. So, JC, did Otto Porter turn down the Lakers?
I don't think so. I think the Lakers are trying to wait and taking a wait-and-see approach on one of, if not a combination, of three players, Buddy Hield, DeMar DeRozan, and Patty Mills. It seems as though I think they have a great shot at Patty Mills. The thing with DeMar DeRozan and why I keep going back to that is just looking around the league, like the money's dried up. He potentially was talking about a pay cut in the mid-level range. I think people were talking about, you know, him getting 18 to 15 million. The teams that can offer that, I don't think are teams that would really interest him. And so, and you know, the reports were he probably wasn't going to look at a pay cut as drastic as the mid-level exception at $9.5 million. But if that's all that's there, and the Lakers can offer it to him, I don't see why he wouldn't take that. And so that might be what they're waiting for. But I mean, that seems highly unlikely.
I just think that's such a hard dream to dare to dream. I mean, I know DeRozan would probably take a – I mean, I don't know, but I would assume that DeRozan would take a pay cut to play for the Lakers. But a pay cut is one thing. a pay decimation is another. And I know most people can sit here and say, oh, it's millions of dollars. What's the difference? He's already made so much money. I get that stance, but these guys have a limited earning potential in terms of how long their career lasts. They work very hard to get to this level. They provide entertainment. They bring in billions of dollars. You know what? As compared to the owners of this league, the players are really underpaid. So get that money, DeRozan, okay? Get that money, Caruso. Get that money, anyone. That's always going to be my stance. At the end of the day, like I just texted a buddy a couple hours ago, he was saying how this Lakers second unit was worrying him. And I said, look, I said, if this Lakers team were able to acquire Buddy Hield, they were able to sign Patty Mills and add Carmelo, would you feel better about it? And he said, well, yeah, that changes the whole bench. And I said, exactly. It's day one, man. So as exciting as it is, and as much as you want all the things to happen at once, the last offseason where all the things happened at once for the Lakers was Lou Alding and Timofey Mozgov. How did that work out?
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes I know in this age of instancy, we all want answers right away, but at the end of the day, the Lakers are making the moves that they need to make, and I think it's going to be beneficial for the team. And for me, JC, now that they've added Wayne Ellington, who's clearly going to help on the three-point line, Trevor Ariza, who's clearly going to help defensively, Dwight Howard is going to be that interior defensive presence, Kent Bazemore can be a 3-and-D player, okay? So Lakers have added four players here. It's not like they have a whole roster to still build out. THT, you got to bring back into the fold. But outside of that, it seems like to me the plan is pretty clear. Sign and trade Dennis Schroeder for Buddy Hield. Sign Patty Mills at the mid-level, taxpayers mid-level. And finish it out with Melo on the minimum. And then you're talking about a team, although it looks different on paper than it did last year and looks good on paper, I'd be intrigued to watch, but I think still has something to prove, to say the very least.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we like last year, it's nice on paper being able to say you've got a team 14, 15 people deep. But, you know, maybe there's something to be said if you can just go for a really solid 12 to 13 deep. And that's what you roll with.
We shall see how it shakes out over the next several days, several hours. It's going to move fast and furious. Quick reaction, JC, do the Lakers acquire Buddy Hield?
I think so.
I am on the train to Jamtown, baby. Let's go, buddy. Bring him to the Lakers. I think that'll be a wonderful fit for this team. The Lakers are going to have some big money to carry on the books. But if that's what it's going to take to win the title and make this thing happen, the Lakers got to do what they got to do. I praise Pelinka for all the work he does behind the scenes. I praise LeBron for all the leadership he does both in the locker room and amongst the players, because those relationships matter. And that's what drives players toward those ultimate decisions, JC. Hield, Mills, Melo, get ready for training camp, bring THT back. You got a team worth going to battle with. What is that sort of your ideal blueprint as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's get it done. And if it happens in that order, JC, we both need to go out and buy lottery tickets, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
Guys, well, we appreciate you listening, of course. We'll be back more often with the Hoopball Lakers podcast with all the things going on. Basketball offseason, aka the basketball season 1.0, is officially underway. We look forward to being here. Lakers basketball back in business. Of course, subscribe, listen, download our show, Hoopball Lakers Pod, available everywhere that you stream your podcast. You follow him on Twitter at JCDeLeon1. Follow me on Twitter at Ethan_Noroff. Until next time, we out.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.